Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro. Oh, where's the seltzer? Where's my $850,000? Oh, yeah. So I find you see in children, kids have a certain excitement that comes to, when it comes to life, pretty much in any area. There's a newness, there's an excitement, and there's a vigor and a fervor, and they do things with a bren. Yup. And as time goes on, unfortunately, sometimes we find that people slow down the pace a little bit. First of all, there's just a classic straight-up idea. I was just talking with someone recently about how I got to find something new. I got to up my game a little. I got to change it up. I got to whatever. Who knows all these different things. And it's very important to understand that hischatzus is very important. The person has to have newness in their life. But hischatzus doesn't mean jumping into something which is not shaykh to Yiddishkeit, right? That could be also new. It's new, it's different, it's exciting. And people want to jump into it and be involved with it and all that kind of stuff. Hischatzus means we have to find, similar to Kiddush HaChodesh. We know Kiddush HaChodesh is the kinds of Chodesh Chadash, right? Chodesh is the month, but it's also newness. It's something which is new. However, even though Kiddush HaChodesh is Chadash, is new, it's still Kiddush HaChodesh. It's not Kiddush of the, you know, it's Kiddush Levana, right? It's not the Kiddush of the Chama. It's not Kiddush of the Ruach. It's not Kiddush, I should probably translate for you guys. It's not the sanctification of dirt. It's not the sanctification of whatever. It's still Kiddush Levana, right? It's of the moon, but it's mischadish. It's newness within that which we always have, right? So we have to find that newness. And that's important that everybody find that newness. For a kid, everything is new and fresh and exciting. We spoke here on Amatz Shabbos a bunch of years ago about parenting. It's one of the things we spoke about. It sounds a little strange perhaps for some, but for those who get it, it was an important point to discuss. Mistami, you weren't there or you forgot, but one of the things that we spoke about is this concept to understand that when it comes to a kid, everything is fresh, everything is new, everything's like not untouched. That's the Mishnah of us, Elisha ben Avuya, Halomi Yelid, or Acher, unfortunately, but Halomi Yelid, Lamau Dome. So you teach a child what it's similar to, right? It's just like, Come Pahina Nuevo, see? And the thing is totally, totally fresh. It's a brand new piece of paper, and there's nothing on it, and whatever you put on it, that's what's going to be. That's a kid. Halomit zaki in the ma'udome. Someone who teaches someone who's older. What's that compared to? That's like writing on a smudged piece of paper. Right? When you have a fresh blank piece of paper, whatever you have to say, people go, kids have the most amazing memories. If they only have to remember one thing, it's not that amazing. You understand? It's like, remember the number 7. A week later, what's the number? 7? Genius! There's nothing else there. But with us, we say, remember this, and then remember that, then remember the other, remember this, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you idiot. I'm not an idiot. It's just so much going on, and then it gets erased, and it gets smudged, and it gets put back. And they, kids are like sponges. No, they're not. They're just, there's nothing. So since there's nothing, therefore you put something, they have the something. That's it. It's mamish pshutukim hashor. That's why you have girsa d'ankasa. Why is it that you guys remember all the books you read when you were young? Why is it that you remember all the songs? Why is it you remember all the, even the, everybody remembers the very first word in every mesechta, right? You know, everybody remembers at the beginning starts of yes. It's like, be'emasai konish mabarvin. Okay, start from Gimel. There's not all. You remember the first page because it's new and it's fresh and it's blank and it's open. That's it, right? But then after that, you don't remember it anymore. But they still have that vigor because it's exciting and it's new. It's chachos. It's got to be new. Got to find the newness in it. But more than that, right, is the concept of recognizing what we're doing, really appreciating what we're doing, having appreciation and recognition. It's a story that just came out. A story that just came out now with this whole matzav in Meron, which I'm sure many of you have heard the story already. I know it's floating around already. I'm going to start with this before, you know, one of you pops up. How do we even know it's true? Okay, first of all, you koifer, just relax. But even if it's not true, it's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it's true or not true, because it's true. Even if it's not true, it's emes. How do you know? Because I do. All right, the story is like this. One of the, tell me the story. Who was? No, come on. What? Guy's name was David? What happened?
Oh, that one.
You know what I'm talking about, Meron, you know the story, the body bag that started moving?
Oh,
you guys don't know the story?
crowd?
That he went upstairs, came back down. Is the guy in yeshiva?
No.
That's the name, Krauss?
Krauss is the last
man.
Okay, I don't know the name. Okay, but the name of whatever it was, that this chassid or whatever it was, that he was they closed him off, they put him in the bag, and it was game over. I don't know how much later it was, but they saw that the bag is moving. They opened up. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he survived, right? Now, maybe he wasn't dead. Maybe he was dead. Maybe it was this. Maybe the whole time they never knew. Fine. Again, all this is irrelevant. Here's the story. The story is that what happened, the story that I heard is that he apparently went up to Shemayim. The guy was, he was a goner. So it's Torah. Terminamos. We're talking about feeling the samos. Right? Came upstairs, he's up in cielo in el mundo venidero, see, and he's up there, he's chilling con Dios, con creer en el mundo, and as he's up there, he's doing his thing, what happens? He goes there, see, okay, see, right, okay, good. I'm just telling him, we're sharing recipes, that's all we're doing. Anyway, point is, el pollo loco, caliente. Anyway, point is that the guy goes upstairs, he dies, he goes upstairs, he's in Shemayim, he's in the next world. And apparently the way the story is, again, there's always going to be a guy, no, you're saying it wrong. Okay, it's irrelevant. Relax, right? Every detail's relevant. No, so what happens is, the guy gets upstairs, he's waiting on a line, what are you doing? Someone came over to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm in line, there's a line for din, right? Apparently there's lines in Shemayim too, there's lines everywhere, right? You live in there, so you know this. And he's upstairs, and what happened? He's waiting. They said, no, why are you here? He said, okay, they did a little, they convened, they saw what's going on. They said, no, you go back down. Why am I going? What's pshat? He said, the guy made a Kabbalah that he's going to be, before he goes into shul, he's not going to talk during davening. He's going to be careful not to talk during davening. And then they said, okay, you made a Kabbalah to do that. You're good to go. They send him back down. Here he is. He's back here. Now, listen carefully. Again, this is, if you're a maimon and you believe this, it's not, what do I mean that it's irrelevant? It's like the Rambam speaks about all midrashim. Right? You have a medrash. A medrash comes and like tells a story. Moshe Rabbeinu was 100 billion amos tall, and he lived till 4 billion years, and he flew the moon, and he did whatever else I can come up with, right? And he said, like, okay, but did it really happen? Did it not happen? Is it true? Is it not true? It's not that it's irrelevant, but maso menos, it comes down to, the bottom line is that whether it happened or it didn't happen, whether it's true or it's not true, the question always is, la pregunta es que es el punto. That's the question I got to figure out. What is the point? What's the message? When you have a medrash that comes and tells us something, so the medrash is coming to tell us something. It's coming to teach us a lesson over here. What are we meant to glean? What are we meant to take out of it? What are we meant to learn? Mishnah Berurah brings down a maisa about what happened was, there's a Rebbe who died, and he came back to one of his talmidim in a dream, and he saw that he had a kesa, and he had a stain on his forehead or something. He said, why do you have a stain? It's interesting, I'm saying this story also because it's not, I don't mean to go down this line at all, but it happens to be, that's just a story that popped into my head with this idea. Mr. Brewer says that what happens, he said, yeah, because of the fact that I spoke during Magen Avos, I know it's on Friday night, Magen Avos, Be'er Baro, Mechai Meisei, and the guy's doing a harmony, ha, 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 right, they got, right, so because he spoke, now the harmony is fine, it's not really not fine, brother, but it depends, if you know how to sing, it's, so point is that this guy, because he spoke during Chazaras HaShatz, right, that's the Chazaras HaShatz of Berachos Magen Sheva, I'm speaking a lot of words you maybe don't know, on Friday night we pray, and when, after we finish our silent prayer, the leader says something, and then we have that thing going on, right? So that when he's doing it, he spoke. You're not allowed to talk then. You're not allowed to talk during that time. You're not allowed to. And he spoke, and because of that, in Shemayim, there's a kesem. I have a stain now because of this concept. It's true, it's not true, it happened. Here's the bottom line. Halacha tells us there's things that are really important. There are ramifications, there are outcomes of the way of which we behave, for better or worse. Now, unfortunately, many times the focus is for worse. Right, see, you got this, this is a kesem, or whatever. And the story that this one is told, what happened? The guy made a kabbalah, he's not going to speak during davening, and it literally saved his life. It wasn't like a figurative, it literally saved his life. I mean, that's a big thing. And the question is, how many of us have things that this is, how many of us have things like this happened to us? I want to tell you too, like in another light entirely. A friend of mine, his name is Svi Sittner. Rabbi Sittner, he's a Rav in Toronto. I always have flashbacks. I never know if I spoke about this or not. Did I tell you this story? No. Okay, so what happened was like this. There's a woman named Michelle White. I think that's her name. I think. I called her Erev Pesach to see if the story's true. Because my friend is a Rav in Toronto. He said the mice and he sent it out on a telegram, and we all read it. And he sent out this beautiful, beautiful story about this woman named Michelle White. I listened to the story. I was really moved by the story. I don't know why I was moved by this story more than any other one that I've heard. It's not the first time I heard a story like this. Matter of fact, this type of story happened to my father-in-law. So I don't know why. It was like, so whatever. But I was very moved by it. So I called her up. Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, well, for you guys, for whoever next to Israel, you read the Leregel, so I was in Chutz Laaretz, but Erev Pesach for me, for you guys, it was already Pesach, you're already mamish haimishing with the mar, you know, don't ever kezayis, you're already doing that, by whatever that thing is called, potato, but Orchatz, thank you, Rabbi, Karpas, I mean, after Orchatz, and you're already doing the thing, but I called up Michelle White in Toronto, Canada, I called her up, and I said, you know, my name is it's irrelevant what my name is, you know, it doesn't matter, I know where you live, and she hung up, and it was whatever, she called the police, but another story is I called up the real woman, and I said, well, my name is, and I said, I heard a story from Avicen, I want to know if it's true, could you tell me the story? She goes, oh, the story with, I don't know what she said, I was like, no, and she's like, oh, the other one, yeah, the other one, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but she shared with me the following story. She shared with me the following story that I had already heard. Her father used to work in the Far East. He worked in the Far East you know, this is back in, I mean, you don't know, I didn't say yet, but it was back, this is back in the 1980s, in the 1900s. I'm like, look at the century ago. And he used to, now communication is like bam, 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 right? You understand? Like, you already know the news as it's happening, right? They you don't know what I'm going to say. You're not familiar, but they'll live stream Gaza. And it's like you get to watch the war. You watch it as it's happening. You don't wait for the news to happen. You watch it as it's happening. It's just like an incredible thing of what's going on. But back in the day, go back, this is the early 80s or whatever, I can think exactly when it was, 1986 I think it was, 85, 86. And what happened was that her father was flying, he had to take two or three flights, forget exactly, he's flying like Korean Airlines, and he had to go from one Far East place to another Far East place to another one until finally he can get back to Canada. The whole thing was going to take 2 or 3 days, right, of traveling because of the stopovers and whatnot. And that's how it was. And you know how it was, like back in the day, like if you tell someone, you know, meet me at a certain place, there was no such thing, there's no concept of like, there's no ways, there's no map quizzes. There was a thing called a map. You actually unfolded it and you looked at it and it's like E, you know, you'd be like E8, and then everyone would go like, miss. And they go, okay, whatever, right? That's how it was. You know, that's how we lived our lives. So you open up a map and you look, and then hopefully you see something. But the point is that fine, so you had this world. So fine, you don't get through. There's no emails that didn't exist. I mean, it did. The government had it. It's deep, whatever. They knew what's going on. Fine. Point is that nobody had that. So he goes ahead, and he's making his way back home. He's supposed to be back, let's say, on Tuesday morning. And this woman, she's 12 years old, Michelle at the time, she's 12 years old, and she wakes up to hearing her brother making this weird screaming sound. Because for a girl, it's a real scream. For a guy, it's like, ah, guys, whatever. Right? So point is that he goes and hears this weird thing. He's like, what's going on? Comes downstairs and sees, looks at the paper, Korean Airlines flight, blah, 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 down, done, crashed, dead. Not just the airline itself, people. Everything is done, right? Now, obviously, she's crushed. She told me. She remembers sitting down on the floor thinking, what do I do now? My father's dead. Like, what do I do? My father just died. He just died in a terrible, horrific plane crash. She's the youngest. She has a brother who's 10 years older than her. She told me, and she's called up, and they call the airline over and over. If you have more than four people calling, just the phone lines crash. They get up, and they go, boom, and then they fall. And the rotary falls off, and the string falls off the wall, and everything just goes crazy. Like, they just can't handle more than four calls at a time. It's like, there's no, like, you're number 18. It's like, you're number two, and after that, it's not even boom, it's just like, and smoke comes up. There's not enough technology. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't there, right? So now they're calling, they can't get through. Finally get through, we're not really sing any names. That's a way of saying we have no idea what's going on, you know? But it's official policy that we don't, that the policy is of the policy. I want to tell you about policy, okay? This is totally, totally not relevant, but just when I was just doing Yerida L'Regel and then we came back, so I can't tell you the full story. It's a crazy story, but I can, but it's whatever. It's like it's going to incriminate someone close to me I might be married to. But point is that still, Baruch Hashem, I don't want to tell the story, but yeah, we're waiting. Whatever. I was in Texas, and I wish I could even say T4, but Texas. I mean, come on, I would have said like I'm in Hawaii. I was in Texas, T4. You know, like it was Texas. Like, was it? Sorry, from Texas. Who's from Texas? It's a wonderful place. But anyway, point is, I mean, everything is taco big. But that's it. It's actually humongous there. Point is that we missed our flight back from Texas to Eretz Yisrael. It's not just like, oh, you missed a flight. Take the next one in Newark or in LaGuardia or in JFK. It's like, oh, you missed your flight. We have another one in 12 months. We have one seat, and then in another 3 years, we could put another kid on a lap of some random stranger. Will you sign this form, right? I was like, what is wrong with you? And my wife is like, that's crazy. I'm like, where do I sign? You know. Anyway, the point is that fine, this is what's going on. So we have to make our way back, and there's like no flights. This is crazy. And we had to stop over in one of the New York airports. I don't know the difference, whatever, one of the New York ones, you know, okay, one of them. It sounds like I'm from New York. I just don't know. I don't care. It was at a New York airport. It could have been New Jersey even, by the way. It's a whole scam. Is it New York? Is it New Jersey? It's unclear. The Jets are in the Nets, and like they keep switching, and I don't know what's happening. Point is, is it the Brooklyn Nets? It's never the Brooklyn Nets. Baloney, by the way. It was always, and the Jets and the New Jersey and the Giants became, fine. The point of the story really is that there is no point to this particular one. But I'm going to come back to understand is, as we're standing there, and they're like trying to get us on to things. Like, oh, we have three people at this time, and 12, and you get six on that. And like, it's not going to work. And then they come out with like, by the way, your bags are too big. They're overweight. My wife was like, mm-mm. I did not know my mom's from the South, but she's like, you ain't gonna do none of this, right? You understand? A finger licking good ribs. But let me tell you something, right? Our bags are not overweight. We weighed every one of the bags. And the guy's like, it was official policy of a United American Airline Delta. I'm like, well, which one are you, right? It is the official airline policy that whatever, and you have to pay extra. I said, okay. And he's like, it is a policy. I'm like, come on. And my wife's like, you just want our money. You just want our money. That's the only reason you're doing this is for more money. And the guy's like, ma'am, it is just the FAA policy. I was like, then that got me. I was like, okay, slow down. Don't FAA policy me. You know what I'm saying? It's the FAA, as if like the Flight Association of Analysis. I don't know what they're called. They go ahead and it must be aviation somewhere there. They come along like, the policy is if you find Jews in an airport in some random place, it is extra. Anyway, smells like something. Anyway, point is that I was like, don't give me FAA. You want to tell me it's a United thingamajig? Fine. Say whatever you want, but don't make up that. It happens to be, miraculously, the FAA said it's okay after that. But the point is, I don't know how I got through to them. I have a very close ties with them. It's the policy of the whatever. So back to our story, which is the middle one, and that's what happens. Is our policy? Don't tell us who's dead on the plane, whatever it is. And they're calling, and they're calling, and they're calling, and they're calling, and they're calling. And this goes on for hours. It's going on. They're trying to find out what happened. It's almost like silly. It's like people go into this mode of like, okay, let me see what I could do to comfort myself, whatever. He's dead. He was on this flight. It's like a push it. They checked the airline ticket afterwards, which they had handwritten in their iPod called a book that they opened and wrote, because that's all they had. Right? They had a little thingamajig. The calendar. You know the calendar, right? The calendar, right? So that's what they had it, and you know it's going to be what this benching is, and you write who you're meeting that day, and that's what it is, right? So that's why they go out. If it's the flight, he's dead. Why are you even calling over and over again? It'll be on the news, it'll be over. They finally get through, and they finally release the names of the people, and he's not on the list. He's not on the list. And this just doesn't make sense. That's his flight. He's not on the list. What does that mean? They're like, are you sure? They're like, this is the flight list of the people that were on it. And if he's not on that list, he was not on the plane. So now they're in this awkward stage of like, okay, like, I guess he wasn't on the plane, but there's no way of knowing, and they just have to wait to see what happens. Fast forward, it was a day or two, whatever it was later, the door opens up, and he walks in the door. He is exhausted. He's frustrated. He's upset because on his way to the airport, there was a taxi that was taking him, and there was a traffic jam, and he ended up, the kids are missing the flight. He ended up getting on another flight, but in a middle seat, which we've discussed in the past, like everyone's favorite. And he's stuck in the middle seat, and he's going through whatever, and he didn't even have food, let alone food. There was no food, right? And saying they're coming from the Far East, they had ran out of rat tail. So there was a shortage in Wuhan. So they, whatever, so they said they were working on some virus, but they mamish, it took years, but obviously they had nothing. He's so frustrated. He walks in the door, they jump him, then they realize,
that it's their father, so they didn't mug him. But then they realize it's their father. They jump him. They're crying. They're hugging him. They're hug crying, you know. And you can imagine he comes in. He's like, oh, they're like, oh, Daddy, come home, stay with me. Start lighting Hanukkah candles. It's just like out of control. And it's, is it really a Jewish song? Is it a Goyish song? Okay, we have to learn about the songs. Everybody said. And the point is that go ahead and it's going well, and he doesn't understand what's going on. He has no idea what's going on. He had no idea that the plane had crashed. He had no idea. News doesn't spread like that. He had no clue that the plane went down and every person had died on that plane. Every person. If you would have been on that plane, if you hadn't missed the plane, you would have been on that plane also. He had no idea. They're jumping for joy and they're crying. They're not letting go. They're hysterical. And he is like, okay, like, hi. Hello, too. Why are we crying? You know, he has no idea what's going on. So finally, they explained to him what's going on. And he ended up having a heart attack and dying. But the point is, that's not the point, Rabosai. The point is before that point, okay? The point is before that point, antes, see? Okay, fine, he didn't die. I mean, eventually he died, but he didn't die, right? Okay. So my question for you is like this, and this is a real question. I know these sound like crazy stories, but did anyone here have something like that, like these type of stories? Anyone have one of those? Nobody? Okay. It's a bunch of boring, crowd here. Nobody, you had a story like this?
No.
This is like awkward when the guy points at you. Okay, here you go. Nobody had a story like this? This, my friends, is where it's sad. Where it's sad is we don't understand what it means when we say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasdo. We don't understand how the Ribbono Shel Olam is so good to us. We don't understand how incredible Hashem is to us constantly. You never had a story like this? Or you're just not aware of the story? What you got? I thought you're like really ending this on a bad. No, you're like, no, I have a story like this. I have a friend who died, and anyway, good Shabbos. I'm like, what is going on? He came back. But I'm talking about every single person in this room. Every single one of you have gone through circumstances that you're not even aware of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly taking care of us every second of every day. Every second of every day we're being taken care of. You don't have to look too far, only about 30 or 40 miles, to take a look at what's going on in this country as we speak. You know, someone called me 2 days ago in order to, Nachi Gordon, you know, for a meaningful minute, do you know what that is? And he asked, he said, can we do a little talk about like what's going on right now? So I said, okay, you know, and he says, okay. So then he asked me, he's like, okay, so like here in New York, it's, you know, it's a beautiful sunny day. And like everything's going really well, and like, you know, so it's really hard to relate. So what's it going on? What's it like by you? I said, well, here in Yerushalayim, it's a beautiful sunny day, and I actually have no idea what's going on at all. Because thank you, good Lord, everything's great. Besides, like that first day when it's like, and I thought it's like Yom Yerushalayim siren. Like, Kamashi had no clue what's going on. No clue. It wasn't like, this is not just because I'm going to get a speaking technique and see and play the game. I really didn't know, but I didn't even know. I'm playing stupid. I actually had no clue. Like, the siren's going off. I thought it's that. My wife's telling me there's no siren in Yerushalayim. And she's like, and besides that, she's a bucky in sirens. Besides that, the siren, when it's that type of thing, is like, kind of like your little brother, right? But the siren, when it comes to down, it's like, right? The up and down thing. Okay, like, I don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, what happens? I'm sure some of you heard it, right? I'm sure some of you heard it. I was in Center South. That's it's right by RSA. And as I was, I was learning, and we heard it. See, first of all, it's amazing. So you got to hand it to them. The Pasha, you know the joke. I don't remember if I said the joke. I didn't say the joke. I'll say it again. It's a classic one. You'll know. You know the guy who dies and he gets upstairs and they say to him, "I'm really sorry, but like you didn't make the cut. Like you're going straight. You're going down. Sorry, it's not. Enfierno, enfierno. See, enfierno con diablo. Es lo que se mo caliente, mo calor, mo calor con el sol de Mario." I'm talking about it's really intense. It's going just like the sun is yellow, right? So he goes and he says it's gonna be bad. You're going to Jainom. You're going to Jainom. So the guy goes, "I'm going to Jainom." He goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "But don't worry, because we have a deal now. We're having a sale. You get to choose which one you want to go, right? We have Israeli Gehenna, we have American Gehenna, and we have French Gehenna, right?" So he's like, "Well, what are the options?"
He's like, well, I mean, it's posh. I mean, American Ganem is like you get up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. You eat pizza. Rachman Oslan, you go to a baseball game. You look at stuff and play sports and, you know, then have ice cream. And then at 8 p.m., we throw you into boiling hot water and you stay there until the morning. He's like, okay, all right. And what's French Gehenna? It's like French Gehenna. It's like you wake up also at 8 o'clock, you have a little wine, you have a little cheese, you don't put on deodorant, then you wave a white flag, whatever, you have to know what that means to get it. You do things, you know, and okay, you go like, you look at a tower, and then at 8 o'clock, we put you in a boiling hot water, and then you stay there until it's the morning. Bonjour. He's like, okay. He's like, and what's Israeli Gehenim? Israeli Gehenim, you get up at 5 in the morning. You work in a kibbutz, manufacturing apples from scratch, of scratch. The technologically advanced apples that GPS your body. And you work on it in the hot sun the whole day. In the middle of the day, you get a pita and hummus and a couple of galenim. Right, comes that. And then at 5 p.m., you go into boiling hot water and you stay there until the morning. Mod mod cham. He's like, why would anybody pick Israeli Gehenna? Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's like, listen, 5 o'clock's not really 5 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Hot water's not really hot water. You know, like, whatever. Pizza's not really pizza. That's what it is. It's like, it's just not. By the way, I totally forgot what I was talking about now that I just brought that in. What was I talking about? What? Oh. So I was in the south. And so what's amazing the thing is that are we really on time for things? Do we take things seriously? I'm not doing it. Relax. I'm not doing it. You know the speech when they go on like, every 5 minutes, come to Shacharis because every 5 minutes matters and the store burns down. It's true, by the way, but I'm not going to that speech. I'm not. I'm going to a little, but I'm not really going to. It's not my point. This is my own guilty conscience, like thinking about it. I'm projecting my insecurities. But I'm just, okay, not too many of them, but I just understand. 6 o'clock, the siren goes off. 6:01. 6:01. You heard? You heard the pfft. You heard the bombs? You hear them? Yeah. Literally, 6:01. We're talking about Hezbollah Yekis. These guys are pushing. They get to Minyan when they got to get to Minyan. They did exactly what they said they're going to do. Hush, unbelievable. You don't have to look too far for the concept of the Nisim that are happening here. The Nisim that are happening right in front of our eyes, but those are the ones that we see. What about the ones that we don't see? There's so many things that are happening. Baruch Hashem is taking care of us day in and day out. And then we have like the audacity to be like, oh, I don't even know. Like, is there Hashem? Like, what's wrong with you? And they're like, we don't stop and think. All of that, by the way, all of that is just, it's a side point to get to the point of understanding the impact of the things that we're doing that we don't see and recognize and feel and understand, but we know it's true because the Torah tells us the impact of what we do. When we do something, the impact it has is so huge, it's tremendous. And we're talking about not only, we're talking about Shemayim, we're talking about Aretz, it affects the entire world. The things that we do, the way in which we behave, like the Mesil Sesharim writes, no matter what you do, Bein Tov LeMutav, whether you do something which is good or something which is the opposite of that, it affects the entire world. The entire world is affected if you go ahead and you do something good. If you do something bad, the entire world is affected. Oh, I don't really see it. I don't see it because I'm 17 or 18. I'm 19. I'm 20, right? Whatever it is, you know? Summer, Sean, a dollar, or hey, whatever. You understand? What it comes down to is like, do you understand what's going on? How immature are we to not understand, to appreciate the fact of what we do, how powerful it is? But to be fair, I heard the Mashkiach speaks about this Medrash, so I'm going to quote the Mashkiach, quoting the Medrash, which brings out it's not only us that don't see it and don't appreciate it, but I got to go back to the Mesil Sesharim just to explain that point a little bit. When we talk about the idea that we don't understand the impact of what it is, it's because we're not really. We're not focusing on a proper scale. We're not looking at the right scale. If you were to look at a scale properly, you know, there are certain scales that they weigh pounds, right? A person or kilo, whatever it is. Other scales, some people have certain businesses, whatever, they need grams, right? They need ounces. They need small measurements. Diamonds. What were you guys thinking? Right? So anyway, sometimes they're smaller diamonds. Sometimes you need them in bags, whatever. So point is that you need to measure in grams and in ounces and in grams and in milligrams and really get down because sometimes you shiva bachur budget, right? You need it. Right? So you need whatever it is. And you want to buy a chasana ring. I don't know. Again, I don't know what you guys are thinking. So anyway, the point is, at the end of the day, to come to recognize the fact that if you look at a scale like that, it's like putting a diamond on a scale. When you put a diamond on a scale where it only really registers with pounds, right? You want to weigh yourself and you step on the scale. But what happens if you go and you put this on the scale? Mistama, nothing will happen. It won't even turn on, the digital ones, right? It won't even turn on. It's not heavy enough to turn on. Does that mean it weighs nothing? All of a sudden it weighs nothing? Now it doesn't weigh anything. Fantastic. Anyone who's ever been on a diet, that's what you do. You put on very little food at a time. You're like, it weighs zero. That 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 weighs zero. I ate nothing. How did I gain so much, right? The answer is that we're looking at the wrong scale. I'm not going to say who I'm talking about, but I don't. Anyway, we go ahead and we come to recognize this concept of like the scale. So what scale? What if you're using a grams? What if you're using milligrams? What if you're using billigrams? Okay, again, right? What if you're using really, really, really fine-tuned? Then you start to see, and it counts. It's 0.001, 0.0002, 0.0278. Everybody leaves it at one. Right? It's a 0.0287655552. Right? Whatever it may be, right? It's something. It's something. Okay, but that's so small. You're right, it's so small. But what happens when you do that again? You do that again, you do that again, you do that again, you do that again, you do it again, and all of a sudden, now it weighs, it's no longer 0.00027, it's now 0.0003, right? But the point is that if you continuously do that, it builds up and it has an impact on the entire world. We impact and affect the entire world. We just don't appreciate it. And since we don't stop and think about that, therefore we're not appreciated. And since we're not appreciated, therefore we don't go and do more of it because we think like, ah, whatever. I do what I do and I do it and that's it and move on with life. Does it really have an impact? Rabbi said, what I'm trying to point out of you is that the answer is it does. And that's where Rus Rabba comes in. If you look in Rus Rabba, it's coming up to Shavuos, and I could sound like I know a little bit of Navi, even though I don't think that's a Navi. But the point is, right, you think it's Ting Suvim, but the point is, you didn't know that either, and you don't even know Ksivim is. So we're fine, you know. It's somewhere in the 27 books. The point is, no one corrected me. Okay, 24. We'll get there one day. Shana Tesvav. Anyway, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is it's found in Rus. Rus is one of the, root, if you grew up like me, right? So root, right? Or Ruth, if you're totally off. Right? So the point is that you have something known as Rus, and Rus Rabba. What's Rus Rabba? It's not just Rus, it's Rus Rabba, right? It's a medrash. And it's found in 5-6. 5-6. What does it say? Very famously. It says that if Boaz, again, I can't even tell you, every time I say this, I feel people are looking at me like, wow, this guy like knows the other names that, you know, and if Arpachshad and Slav, and if they would have, right, so this, if Boaz would have known, would have realized the fact that it was going to be recorded, the fact that he helped out Rus and that he gave her kernels of wheat to help her out, if he would have known that, he would have given her fatty, fatty carne. Come on, tell him. Meat, baby. He would have given fat cows. He would have fed that girl. He gave her a lot of stuff. And if Aaron would have known that the Torah is going to write down, now we're back in Chumash, so it's less cool, right? But if Aaron would have known, but it's still good because now I'm still Chasha. If Aaron would have known that the Torah is going to document the fact that he was excited for Moshe when Moshe was decided he was going to be the leader, and he was older, right? Aaron was older, or 3 years older than him. If Aaron would have known, he would have cut out. With tupim, with drums, and with cymbals, and excitement, and it would have done even more. And if Reuven, or Reuven, would have known, if he would have known the Torah was going to document the fact that he wanted to save Yosef, because that was the plan, throw him in a pit in order that they don't kill him, in order that he can come back and save him. That's what he wanted to do. So they wanted to kill him. He said, I have an idea, throw him in the pit. And then we have the whole Orech Chaim HaKadosh, right? Because of that, because of Reuven, we're all mixed up, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. But the point is, they go ahead, and they go, and they threw him in the pit, and his goal is to come back and to save him. And they write that. Okay, he gets a smackdown for the fact of the way he behaved. Bam! You guys get the smackdown because of what happened. But even though maybe he gets the smackdown, it's a positive thing that he wanted to save him. If he would have known that the Torah was going to write down the fact that he was done and willing to come back and save him, he would have immediately put him on his shoulders and he would have marched him right back to his father. So it sounds like the first time I heard this medrash, it sounded a little funny to me. It's like, okay, Aaron, you know what I'm saying? Chill. You have to, you're so much gaiva. Like, I would have done more if I would have known people were watching. You know what I'm saying? I didn't realize that, like, people are going to know about this. And I'm saying, and if I would have known that, you know, whatever it is, then I would have given fat of cows, right? And if I would have known, then I would have, et cetera. I would have done more and more and more. Only because you would have known that people are going to now see this is happening. Answer is no. It's that's not the case. The case is that, and this is why I say you can't blame us. You can't blame us that we don't appreciate what our Torah is, what our mitzvos are, what our chesed is. You can't blame us. You know why? Because even Aaron didn't realize it. Even Boaz didn't realize it. And by the way, this is it. When I say this, listen carefully to this line. I hope you can appreciate and you're staying with me on this. This is the line that actually makes sense. It's always funny when a Rav gets up and gives a drasha and goes, if Moshe Rabbeinu could do it, then we can. That makes no sense. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course he can do it. What are you saying? Come on, if Rav Chaim Voloshin could learn for 12 years without eating, Rabbi, come on, time to share. What shaykhis? What are you talking about? If Michael Jordan can you know, or LeBron, Caruso, whatever, if Stephen Curry can go ahead and hit so many shots, how come you can't? You know what I mean? It makes no sense. The reason is because that guy is not normal. He's not human. He's not a human. He's talking not a human. There's a whole story about it. It just came on the paper. But my point is that you don't even, it doesn't make it. If that, but this part makes sense. Because they should have been able to appreciate, obviously, Gechut Tassar and their love. I'm not coming to Chalila to this. It's not an insult. My point is that they were on a tremendous level and they didn't even appreciate it. Now it makes sense. Kal v'chomer, we are shvantzim. Right? That makes sense. That makes sense. Right? Well, how do we know? Okay, but now it makes sense. You take a look, you understand what's going on there. That's the craziest of the crazy to come to recognize. Even they didn't. Okay, so now we're off the hook. They didn't appreciate what they were doing. What it means is Aaron didn't realize that it was such a big deal. It was a big deal. So my brother got something. I'm happy for him. I'm genuinely happy. Whoa, you're going to write that down? Why? Like, what's the big deal? Who wouldn't be happy? Aaron, you don't understand what a level that is that you just did. What? Do you understand what that is? To not be jealous of your brother who's younger than you? No. If I would have realized it's such a big deal, I would have done more. Boss. So I fed her. I helped her out. I saved her. She needed something. I took care of it. That's such a big deal. I would have done more. Okay, you go a little bit more. And I say, Ruve. It's such a big deal that I wanted to save my brother. Yes, they wanted to murder him. What do you, or to kill him, the chauffeur, right? There was a whole din, right? But they wanted to dispose of him. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Okay, if I would have known, I would have done more. And if we take that further with every one of us, if we would know, if we would appreciate it, if Pesach would recognize that it's such a big deal, then he would have broke his knee another time. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Not only you. You're not off the hook, right? Right? Then we would have done it even another time and another time. If I would realize that it's such a big deal, okay, I'll do more. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say Beloshen Kino. I don't know to know who I'm talking about because you don't know his real name. If Yosef Tzvi would recognize what a big deal it is, you don't know who it is. If Yosef Tzvi would recognize, then he would do even more. He would play another one-on-one. Right? If he really, really appreciate what's going on. No, okay. I don't know. Point is, if you recognize and appreciate, if everyone would know what's going on, and really I don't know his names besides Schneeweiss. If Schneeweiss would recognize, then he would do even more. I don't know what you do, but whatever you do, you would do more. If we would appreciate and recognize what we're doing, and we really take it to heart, then we would do so much more. Promise we don't appreciate it. Why don't we appreciate it? Okay, what do you want from me? I don't really understand. I didn't think about it. I tried learning and whatever. Listen, part of the issue that comes up is there is a certain reality of life, is that, like we discussed in the past, the Gemara that's in, truth is, I could probably just totally say something random, but I want to get the real one. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud. That says, or I'm talking the end of the third parak. That speaks about the whole story when the guy went into a coma and he came back, right? And whatever, you know what I'm talking about. The point is that what do you want? You know what I'm saying? It's life, and like the Gemara says over there, the places I just quoted, that wow, those who are up in this world are down in that world. Those who are down in this world are up in that world, right? Famous Gemara. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So what's going on? We get mixed up, and sometimes that overflows into the Yiddish home. And what happens is, it's like, oh, how did you do on the Gemara test? And how did you do in terms of your learning? And did you understand the Rashba? Did you understand it? I'm going to say something maybe blasphemous in the yeshiva. I don't know. Not who cares if you understood it. Not who cares. But who cares? Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, Rabbi Biederman said a beautiful concept. I heard it last year already, and I experienced it myself about Parshas B'Chukosai. He said the Parshas B'Chukosai, and I had the opportunity to go. I was driving down the in Ramat Eshkol area, and there was a Rav that was walking. I saw the Rav walking, and I know where he's going. I know he's going, and I was driving right by there. It's not like I'm going by the way for some guy. No, right? But I'll give him a ride. I'm like, you know. So I stopped by there. I said, "Kvod HaRav, you know, do you want it? Can I give you a ride?" He said, No. It's like, I think when you get smicha, you do this. It's like this thing, right? So he goes, no. He pulled a double. It was crazy. He's like, no. So I was like, well, I'll give you a ride. Then we're going where you're going. You're going, I'm going. We're going where we're going. You're going, we're going, I go. We go. What do you say? Want to go? Right? He's like, you want to go? He's like, no, I don't want to go. You want to go? I was like, okay. So fine. All right. So let's go. Let's come in the right. He's like, no, it's okay. I'll walk. It's fine. I was like, why are you walking? God, just come in the car. You're going there. I'm going there also. It's going to take you 10, 15, 20 minutes to get there. I'm driving right there. I'm 10, 15, 20. I don't know why it should be so very. Maybe stop for a little bit. Maybe run a little. I don't know. But yeah, it's like a muscle. Not a muscle of the story, but the time was a muscle, right? So God, and he says, no, you don't understand. The Rav says to me, you don't understand. I had a heart attack. I was like, well, then get in the car, you know? He's like, no. I had a heart attack, and Baruch Hashem, I'm doing a lot better. And the doctor told me that I have to be walking. It's true that I'm trying to get to a certain destination, but it's not right now about the destination. It's about the walking. It's about the actual walking. In B'chukosai, Teilechu. What does that mean, says Rashi? Do amele matol. What does that mean? Teilechu. That means it's the walking itself. In B'chukosai, Teilechu. It's the learning. It's sitting down and learning. You understand it. You don't understand it. It's irrelevant. It's all siyata d'shmaya. That's the Gemara Baruch in the Megillah. It's all set for the Shema. It's going to, you'll get it, you won't get it. We get so caught up with like, did I understand it? Did you understand it? Why is that the focus? Of course we want to understand it. Yeah, we want to understand it. But at the end of the day, that is Siyata D'Shmaya. The only thing we have is the actual Steiging, the working at it. And if at the end of the day you learn for a full day and you did not understand one thing, but you really tried. You really did. You really tried. I'm not going to use the words. But you steiged Rabbeisai. You're amel. Okay, let's speak in English. You really tried. You really gave it your all. Being realistic, it wasn't your all. You could have done more, right? But you gave it a lot. You gave it more than you usually do. Your head is a little bit hurting and spinning from it. At the end of the day, that person is on a much higher darga than the guy who got it. Unless the guy who got it also did the same thing, is it right? But I'm saying the guy who just got it. But we unfortunately, we took the way of the secular world. It's like that's Maisa. It's a famous Maisa, but I'll tell you the famous Maisa because you don't know it. Some of you will know it. The story is, it's been half an hour, right? After making a bracha? Make a shaka for me. Are you a Kohen?
No.
Yeah, make a shaka. Ella, go.
First, I thought the night
was Amen. Now, have that back, please.
Okay. Seltzer.
That's seltzer? Yeah. You get the seltzer second? Anyway, so, oh, you brought it because I said it. Okay, fine. Enjoy the seltzer. All right, so here's the mice. The mice is about a boy. I'm so sorry, but I got started. I have to stop coming. Okay, there's a mind doing that after. And the story about a boy. This boy went way off the derech. This guy, he's floating. He's off. Yeah! And we're talking about totally off that he's ad kedei kach. So much so that he grew up in Bnei Brak. He grew up like in the hood. You know what I'm saying? This kid grew up in the hood. And went off the derech and went off the derech. Okay, he wasn't involved, right? He's this guy. And he goes to a point where he's going to marry a guy. He's ready to marry a guy. It's scary. No, I don't know what that is. But when you've been in centers long enough, it's just like East Jerusalem. I mean, this is not like, you know.
I used to learn with the guy. Some of you know Merms, others you know what I'm talking about. He's like, what? Beep beep. Afghana. He's Jay. Let's go. Now it's like, what? Rocket. Gotta go. You know? The other way. But anyway, this guy, he goes off the deck. It's crazy and scary. It's very scary how quickly someone can drop. A person can drop. They could be learning yeshiva. They could be shtaggin. They could be doing. They could leave yeshiva or even Rachman son, perhaps even in yeshiva itself, and they could drop. They could drop to very, very low depth. You think, like, come on, man. Okay, some, for the Hamevin Yavin, ain't Hamevin in Yavin, but they're saying those who are Hamevin, they're Yavin, and they understand the concept. Those who don't, you think, again, yeah, it'll be okay, I'll float by. You going down hard sometimes, people was like, float, like, yeah, you go through it. This boy went off. He tells his friend or his cousin, he's marrying a guy. He says, okay, Adkan. I call for Aleph. You know what I'm saying? Adkan Rabbi Akiva, Adkan Yechefko, whatever his name was. He says, you got it. You got it. If you're going to do that, you have to at least tell your parents. You have to at least tell your parents. He's like, I'm not telling my parents nothing. I'm going to tell them nothing. You know, I have to give them af dava shum da. Mavi af dava shum af. Krum. Krum shum dava af. Af pe oze. So he says, I don't have to tell him nothing. He's like, no, you got to tell your parents. He's like, okay, fine. So he calls up his parents. He's like, I'm calling for Shabbos. It's okay. They're like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have you. Okay. But you can't tell me not to smoke. I can smoke. Right? Very mature, worked out boy. And no issues. So he comes to Shabbos. The kid's just like, he didn't want to tell his parents. He felt bad. He really genuinely felt bad. Like, tell his parents, he's going to marry a guy. It's like crazy. Parents are like, you know, obviously, you know, enjoying that he's there, but he's smoking away in Shabbos. And Shabbos afternoon, his father comes to him and says, hey, do you want to come with me? I'm going to Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman's giving a shir. You want to come to Rav Steinman? Rav Steinman, Rav Steinman, Rav Steinman, Rav Steinman. Okay, everyone's good? Okay, everyone's all right? Everybody feels okay? Did anyone emotionally hurt by what just happened? Take a breath, it'll be fine, all right? Moshe Feinstein! Feinstein! Okay, anyway, point is, Feinstein... Anyway, so point is that Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib, all right? So Rav Aaron Leib didn't say Yehuda, okay, fine. So I'm going to say how I want, okay? I grew up, so Rav Aaron Judah Leib Steinman. Anyway, so Rav Steinman, what happened was, he says, I'm going, the father comes to his son. He's like, you want to come? I'm going to a shir from Rav Steinman. You want to come? So his son is like, you know I'm totally off the deck. You know I'm smoking a cigarette right now. Not a e-cig case, not a durabonon. You know what I'm saying? Maybe with the syrup of grandma. I have the air conditioning sucking in. I just do that. It's not. No, like this is straight up. I'm doing an Isidore Raisa Mamish. Here it is, Merakade. Every time, every single time. Scary thing is you have no idea what Merakade is either. But the point is, I'm okay, I'm doing Ochel Nefesh. So fine, what happens? But his son doesn't say it. He says, sure, I'll come to the shir. So I was very excited. Okay, good. They come to the shir. Shnei gives the shir. At the end of the shir, his father takes his son to go get a bracha. Comes, let's get a bracha from Rav Steinman. He says, okay, you know, go get a bracha from Rav Steinman. Which is crazy, because the kid's totally off, but he grew up in the game. He's saying he grew up in the game. He just went out of bounds. It was a quick game. It was 12-4, and then it was over, right? Hey, what do we expect? If you stand outside shooting threes every time, okay, it's a real game. Hey, point is. What happens is, rematch. Hey, so and by the way, puzzle lead this everybody all around. Hey, so point is that I'm serious about that. Anyway, so you go ahead, and it's still true, but not for everyone. But all right, no, I feel we're shagging as a matter. So he goes ahead, he comes up to Rishayim, he gives a bracha, and the father can't help himself. He says, Rishayim, I have to tell you, my son's off the derech. He's not Shomer Shabbat. He's doing bad things. Ha! Imagine the son, you know? He's like, what? I told you, what's going on? What are you doing? You know? And he goes and he says, no, what? But Rishayim looks at him, he says, oh, you know, you're okay. Yeah? He's like, yeah. He said, how long have you been chilling in and like a villain? And he said, whatever, 3-4 years. He says, okay, over those 3-4 years, over the 3-4 years that you were involved with whatever it is, did you ever have any hirurei tshuva? Did you ever have a thought that maybe you should change, you should become better, ever? The answer is, of course, yes. How could a boy grow up in a home like that and not have at least a thought, even if they don't want the thought, right? But the thought is there, and it pops out, and he has a thought of, yeah, how many times has that happened to you over the years?
He said it happened like three or four times that I had thoughts of doing tshuva. So Steinman says, I don't know if it's this lashon, but it's a lashon that comes to mind in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, and he says, "He goral cha gorali, he chelkecha chelki." Some basically says, "Wow, I'm jealous of you, and I wish I had what you have." So some Rebbeim do that. You know, the Rebbeim are like, "Oh, I wish I was where you are." You're like, "You're such a liar, right?" Say, so you do not. You know what? Come, let's do a verus together. Right? Really? Okay, come. You know. It's like when the father, you know, when the father goes, you know, that's it, you know, I'm going to give you a zetz, I'm going to give you a frasken patch, right? But it hurts me more than it hurts you. I said, you know, Tati, you turn, I'll do it too. I don't want you to be in so much pain. You know what I'm saying? Kalila, you know? Anyway, Rav Steinman actually meant it. He actually meant it. He said, I'm jealous of you that you had such a thing. He says, what does that mean? He said, we know Chazal teach us that the Gemara says, whatever that means, it's actually two different Gemaras, and Chokas Tosas exactly what that means. That might actually be a bad thing. But let's go with the classic that people understand. And actually, the Arbi Shalom would say it's a good thing. In a place where people that come back from when they were doing the wrong thing and they change their ways and come back to the Ribono Shalom, even pure and completely righteous people aren't able to stand in that place. But Mechitzas, and their place where they stand is on a tremendously high level. He said, my whole life, I grew up in a religious home, and says Rosh Hashanah, and my whole life I was religious, and everything I did was that. So like, I never had what you had, and I'm not about to do it now. You know, I'm a little old to do that, but you know, you should just know, I'm jealous of you. That's amazing that you've had here at Tshuva. Have a good Shabbos. So the kid, okay. Amen, you know. You know, like when you go to Rav Chaim, it doesn't matter what he says, you're like, amen? You know? Like, good morning, amen. Chinamar? He's like, what time is it? Amen? Amen? Yeshme? What are we saying? What's happening? Right? Okay, so he says, all right, he walks out. Fast forward, the kid does a complete 360, which doesn't make sense because then he'd be where he was. So the kid did a 180. Some of you were not so good at math. The kid did a 180 and he changed his ways. He comes back on the path. He gets totally into it. He becomes religious. And Baruch Hashem, he changes his whole life, comes back. So it's tshuva. It's complete tshuva. So they asked the kid later, why did you go to the shir? Why did you go to the shir? You're totally off the deck. You're smoking cigarettes on Shabbos. Your father says, let's go to a shir. It's the last thought that you're going to go. Why did you even acquiesce? That's a fancy word, to agree. Why did you agree? Acquiesce, right? Why did you agree to such a thing? So he said, I'll tell you. He said, when I was a young warthog, someone else popped out and said, when he was a young warthog. He said, when I was a young kid, we went to a statement. I was in yeshiva. I think we were in like third or fourth grade. Kita Gimel or Kita Dalet, Mashu Kaze. Canadians, that's grade three and grade four. Take it easy. If you're from England, it's something about like there's a recession or something. Point is that he was in Lord's School in Knighted, and they came, they went to a statement to have a barbecue. Popped into my head for some reason, but that makes no sense. Anyway, they came to a statement, and they're going to fire them what they're learning. They're learning Chumash. So Hashem asked each kid, you know, name a parsha. Kid's like, Russ, you know. He's like, oh, you must know Friedman, right? He goes, name a parsha. He's like, Bracious. He's like, oh, here's a candy. And he goes, and what are you learning in the parsha? About Avram. Oh, Avram. Avram, what do we call him? Avram, Avi. He's like, no. Okay, here's a candy. Right? He goes to each kid. And this kid went off the derech, but he wasn't yet, right? This is it's like when it goes back and forth, you know what I talk about, right? And he says to the kid, he asks him a question. He's like, so what's your name? You know, he's like, I don't know. You know, and every question he asks him, he doesn't know the answer. He asks him, so something about the parsha. He asks him one question. Like, he asked everyone else a question. He asks him a question. And the boy said, I don't know the answer. He says, okay, that's okay. And he asks him a second question. It has to go easier. And he said, I don't know. And then he asks him a third question. And he said, what's that? He goes, I don't know. And then the Rebbe's like, okay, it's time, we got to go. Then we got to leave. He's like, okay. He says, all right. And he turns around to leave. And as he's walking out, Shimon said, where are you going? One second, where are you going? He said, what do you mean? I'm going to my Rebbe, we're going. And he said, it's the Rebbe, he'll bring him back for a minute. He brings him back. And he gives him three candies. And he said, why are you giving me three candies? He said, did you think that I gave candies to the kids that answered the correct answers? Is that what you thought? I gave candies to the ones who got it right? Well, he said, yeah. He said, I gave the candies for the kids that tried to answer the questions. Happens to be they got it right. So each one tried once and we moved on. You tried three times. Here are three candies. Is that the chinuch that we grew up with? That it's really about the walking. It's about the amelis and putting in the work. So you don't understand. So what if you don't understand? That's not your problem. It has nothing to do with you. At the end of the day, again, it does if you're not putting in the work. But the Ribono Shel Olam is going to give that. That's a matana. Chachma is a matana. That's the old din of the menorah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine? Who's a Balkari? Who's a Balkari? You're Balkari? Yeah, so you know when I don't want to put, can I put you on the spot or?
Yeah,
whatever I'm going to say, not that one, right? All right. The parsha with the menorah. Okay, sounds good. When Hashem tells Moshe how to build the menorah. I don't know, you're the Balkari, right? So just tell me the pesukim, go. I'll do it for you, ready? What? Keep going, you're good, now you're getting there. Kafter v'ferech, prochep, kafteros, seha, kafteros, kafteros, ros, seha, chasecha, piroch, snacha, chasecha, parochas. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there with a notebook, okay? Ribono Shel Olam, like, okay, this is what you gotta do, okay? Build the aron. Okay, what is it? Amo v'chetzi, whatever, right? He's like, okay, 1.5 by 2.5 by 1.5. Okay, good. Now, next. He's like, Shulchan, what is it? All right, good. Mizbech ha-pnimi, Mizbech ha-chitzoni. Very good, but these are Kalim, but this is the vessels, utensils. I said, okay, good. He's like, okay, now, menorah, prochep, pirapir, perach, charap, charap, perach, roseha, chesecha, Moshe is halfway. He's like, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. He just drops the notebook. Your bonus is like, all right, just take the gold block and throw it in the fire. He's like, deal. Throws it in, and the Ribono Shel Olam makes it. Because the menorah is a symbol of chachma. And chachma is a matana. The idea that we end up with these ideas, understanding, is a matana. All we have to care about is actually putting in the work. And what happens when a person puts in the work? We impact the entire world. If he would have known, and if you would have known, and if they would have known, and the other would have known, then I would have done so much more. I just didn't realize, I just didn't appreciate it. My friends, we have to start understanding and start appreciating what we do has massive impact. And when we sit down to learn, to actually focus on the fact that right now, what I'm doing is I am doing something. There's something that's happening over here. Don't just stand do. There's too many people that just show up and then they leave and they come when they have to come and they leave when they have to leave. Or some come a little after they have to come and some leave before they have to leave. Right? I think we spoke about Ashrei Jews, right? You know what that is, right? We spoke about Ashrei to Ashrei and some Ashterei and some Atish, right? And they come in and they leave, you know? Or my favorite is like the Yidden that do, you know, Mincharev? Mincharev. Yudavim Mincharev. Yes? Mincharev, you know, when you go to the minyanim in the afternoon in America, where it's like mincha marev, so it's a mincharev, right? And some people just say one shmona esrei for both, right? It's just like, you know, I'm good, you know. I'm saying hecha kedusha. You say hecha shmona esrei for two. It's like, and I'm good to go. Okay, but some really do. They clock in. They do what they gotta do. You do what they gotta do. That's not what it's about. It's not just about doing what you gotta do. It's also with an understanding and recognition that I'm doing this, and Ribono Shel Olam wants me to be doing this, and this is the greatest thing I ever could have done. And yes, the Torah of Parasaros was a campano that un segundo en el mundo venidero. It's true that how much pleasure we're gonna get in the next world and how incredible it's gonna be. That's all true. But we're talking about in this world also the fact that we understand and we know and we're doing, we're impacting, is doing something. As a kid, it's exciting and it's new, and we go for it and we do it because we're told to do it. As we get older, we have to understand and appreciate the fact of his schatzes, to try to find newness in what we're doing and try to appreciate the fact that it's about the walking. It's about taking the steps. It's about putting in the effort. And if you don't understand and appreciate it, don't worry, you're in good company with Aaron, you're in good company with Reuven, you're in good company with Boaz, of not appreciating what they're doing, how important it actually is. So the one thing I could beg of you, because some of you, I don't even know, we're holding towards wherever we are, and I know it's like the end of this man a year ago already, apparently, for some. But come to recognize, some of you perhaps you go back, or you're going to stay, you're deciding, should I come back, should I not come back, should I go do this, should I do the other. For whatever time you're here, start to appreciate, stop and think when you're about to sit and learn. Stop and think. This isn't just because, okay, I do it and people do it and that's what you do. It's not what it is. Appreciate the fact that what you're doing is you're actually impacting the entire world right now. Okay, I don't even care about the world. All right, go to therapy then. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to therapy. You know, I don't even care. I'm going to get a trench coat. Bro, go to therapy. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to Gaza and I'm going to get one of those big backpacks with things. Right? Is that ridiculous? Bless you again. Understand it, bless all of you. May be blessed, right? Through you, all the nations shall be blessed. Recognize this idea and appreciate what you're doing is important. And if you don't know what that is, then stop and think about it and talk about it and learn about it and understand it. Don't just keep moving. Stop for a second. Stop and think about what we're doing. So as we go through the craziness, and we're gonna bring it to a close, as we go through the absolute craziness that we're experiencing right now, and we start to appreciate somewhat the miracles that the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us constantly. And now every one of us have been in circumstances. I think it was my friend who said, someone shared with me, there, my friend said, a guy came to him and he said, oh, I missed my flight. And he said to him, which flight? He's like, oh, this flight. He's like, oh, did you make a kiddush? He's like, why? Did the plane crash? He said, why do 400 people have to die for you to make a kiddush? What's wrong with you? I don't know what happened. But I'm hungry. Make a kiddush. No, I'm kidding. Say that part. I don't know what happened. But make a kiddush. Who knows why it happened? The Ribbono Shel Olam saved your life, though. And he's constantly saving our lives. And he's constantly doing chesed with us over and over. Abchadish betuva b'chol yom tamid. Constantly ma'aseh bereishis and recreating for us, for our benefit, for our... So stop and think and thank the Ribbono Shel Olam and to do for him and to do more and more and more. And to stop and think about it and really connect with him. Not just stam, because this is what we do, although that is an important part in the discussion for another time, but to understand, because in B'chukose Telechu, it's about taking the steps. Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to put in our effort. He wants to put us in. He wants us to work. He wants us to sweat. And Be'ez Hashem, if we do such a thing and we really start to work in these concepts, then we start to appreciate a little bit more. We start to appreciate it more, we get more eschatzes. Get more eschatzes, we want to do a little bit more with it. You want to do a little bit more of it, then you come with more eschatzes. Come with eschatzes, it's going to be as if I don't understand. I understand. I can't tell enough. Like, I know I said I'm ending, but you know what we're about to say, you know? And I'll end with this. I think I told you, I didn't say E-N-D, I said A-N-D. And I will end. And one more thing. I can't express to you. I really can't express to you. I'm not saying I don't waste my time. Trust me, I waste plenty. Don't trust me. I don't care. I really don't. Generally, I don't care. Like, really. But I'll just tell you that there is nothing like when I can... After a day of putting in my efforts of learning, I've done things in life that I shouldn't have done. Rabosai, I've said the wrong bracha achrona. I've done that before. I had no kavana on purpose. I'm just saying, like, I've done things, okay? I've been places. I once stepped outside of an area. I'm telling you. I didn't have anything in my pockets, but I thought about having something. I did. I really did. I've done things in life which are exciting, which are fun and whatever. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing more fulfilling than a person. I'll speak for myself. Forget a person. There's nothing more fulfilling for me than when I go through a day, and I it was meaningful, and I put in my time. And even at the end of the day, if I didn't understand what I was learning, even if I don't understand it, it's quite frustrating. It is. It's actually quite frustrating. But even though it's frustrating that I didn't understand it, it's this mixed of emotion of, like, on the one end, I wish I would understand it, and therefore I dive in both, so help me understand it. But on the other hand, I go to sleep in a way where I feel like I did. My life has purpose, has meaning. Oh yeah, and by the way, I impacted things in the world. And by the way, also I saved who knows what, and the rocket didn't go off, and there was a miracle that happened here, and this guy went to Shachris for some reason. And who knows what happened. And I'll get schar. I'm going to get schar also. I'm going to get the goods. But at the end of the day, just the fulfillment of living a life where in b'chukosei teilecha, when you're amon, you put your time and your effort into it, there's actually nothing like it in the world. We have to talk more about this another time, about how to get to that really by putting in the effort for it. But until then, I wish everyone a chag sameach. It should be a shavuos where really we're able to be mekabel the Torah, to accept the Torah. And but we say the concept of being mekabel, it means that we're mekabel the all and the yoke of understanding that I'm going to walk with this, I'm going to go with it, and even though it's challenging and though it's hard, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to keep pushing. And then what happens? You walk away with the incredible matana of actually having clarity and knowing what it is that you've been learning. Hatzlacha b'rachamah. Thank you.